Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
As you ponder the start of a brand new year, isn't it great to be middle age? Okay, so you recently turned 47, 53, 58, whatever. In all seriousness, would you rather be 30 again? I know you looked younger and you were probably more athletic, but would you really prefer to go back to the challenges you faced back then, starting out in your career working long hours and playing office politics to get ahead, maybe still single and playing that often frustrating dating game, searching for Mr. or Ms. Right, changing diapers at 3 a.m., caring for and disciplining the littler toddlers as throughout the day they tested your patience, or balancing work, family, and household duties while struggling each month to pay the bills? Now you're middle-aged, ready to launch your second half of life, and at the age you are today, with a positive outlook on the future, you can combine the enthusiasm of your 20s with a mature judgment gained from 20 or more years of adult living, and in my opinion, that's an ideal combination. And in this program, every week we emphasize that middle age can be your best age. And for our first program of the new year, I found an ideal guest, Barb Warner, whose philosophy and outlook on life fits in perfectly with mine. Rather than sadly proclaiming at 42, 52, or 62, my best years are behind me, Barb emphasizes you should celebrate the first half of life and the wisdom that your experience, good or bad, bring to the second half. And she's written a book on the subject with the great title, Keep Your Fork, Dessert is on the Way, Savoring the Second Half of Life, and Barb is here to talk about it today. And she's an award-winning speaker and author. She has a master's degree in guidance and counseling and a certificate of gerontology, which I had to look that one up. It's the scientific study of aging. And her most recent position in the corporate world was director of volunteer services with Total Long-Term Care in Denver, but after retirement, she began writing a monthly column for Prime Time for Seniors, a local newspaper, and she's delivered talks and facilitated workshops for all ages, college students, volunteers, women's groups, service groups, and retirement groups. And this is great. Her stated goal is to help others at middle age, like you and me, to see where we might have made courageous choices and how we can mine our experience and harvest our wisdom, courage, and knowledge for a joyous second half. And her words of wisdom are precisely what this program is all about. Hello, Barb, and a hearty welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, hello, and it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Well, you're clearly our kind of gal with those kind of philosophy. But in your promotional material, you state that your new book was one that just had to be written. And precisely what motivated you in retirement to write your new book, Keep Your Fork, Dessert is on the Way?
Well, what happened, I walked home from the last day of work in corporate America, took my boxes upstairs to my condo, put them on the living room floor, sat in my chair and said, what's next? And I had no idea.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure, true of a lot of retirees.
And I got real scared because I knew that the best time of my life was ahead of me.
Yeah.
But how was I going to use it? You know, when we were younger, we knew what came after college and what came after marriage and what came after a career.
Yeah, but circumstances and others always seemed to be in control of where we were going back then, or so it seemed like then.
You know, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
And it was easy in a way because we didn't have to make any big decisions.
Yeah, it was easy, but yet not totally fulfilling in most cases.
Yeah, you got that right. And sometimes we didn't even know that we had choices then.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, you're under the financial gun to earn a livelihood and support mm-hmm. children and a spouse and other things and pay the bills. And you feel, well, I can't really sit down and start all over again. You know, I've invested too many years in
right.
this job or this career or whatever it is.
Yeah. So I decided, well, I still didn't know what to do, but I decided to start writing. I just had this little nudge inside of me that said,
good.
Write, write, write. And I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah, that's great.
But really, to get rid of that that feeling, I sat down and started to write.
Oh.
And I loved it, and I haven't stopped writing.
Yeah.
And one thing, a woman, her name, she wrote a book, and Julia Cameron, and she said in her book, I write to tell myself the truth.
Oh, that's
and so what I did is sat down and started writing the truth because I didn't have anybody to impress or anything to prove. I just wanted to write the truth about myself and my life.
Yeah,
and
that's
what
a great way
to
look at it. That, I don't really have anything to prove at this point, but I'm going to share what I've learned through years of adult living. That's a great philosophy to have. I don't have to prove myself to anyone, but I can offer of myself and give to others
mm-hmm.
from what I've learned. Well, let me throw a question back from your book that I guess it was Satchel Paige that actually said this.
Oh.
How old would you be if you did not know how old you were? I love that question.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So you're asking me that question?
Yeah, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?
Well, I think, you know, I've been playing with that question ever since I heard it.
I see.
And I think what it is that age doesn't make any difference.
Amen.
And it only makes a difference if we realize that with age comes wisdom.
Yeah.
And we have that inside of us.
Yeah.
So it's about time we get to work and figure out what that's about.
Yeah, I think my answer would be the precise age I am now. The only drawback is I wish I started sooner to get my message across. But I still feel I have my youth and vitality. And in fact, I'm more alive now than I was in my 30s. And you know, fortunately, I have some financial security, so I don't have to. Everything I do doesn't have to be to pay the bills and that kind of thing. But
right, right. I remember my mother saying to me, youth, why do they waste it on the young?
Yeah.
And now I feel, why age? Why do they waste it on the aging?
Yes.
Because we have so many bad thoughts and beliefs about aging that we waste our time fighting those thoughts or believing those thoughts that aren't true.
In fact, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions regarding that. Is there any statistical evidence to support two common myths about growing older? One, to be old is to be sick. And the second one is the secret to aging well is to choose your parents carefully.
Right, right. Well, the first one is, you know, it used to be old was to be sick.
Yeah.
But now with the advent of antibiotics and the advent of, you know, not so many people are smoking and people are learning about good health habits. Because we have those now, we don't have to be sick when we get old.
Yeah, in fact, back in the turn of the 19th century or something, or the 20th century, to be old was about 48 or something like that, given the lifespans back then.
Right. And so, you know, some people, think it's just normal to be sick.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting down not having good health, but
no,
what I'm saying, we need to question what our health is and what are the causes of our health.
We need to take responsibility for our own good health rather than just saying it's up to the doctor or it's up to somebody else.
Exactly, because doctors, you know, it's really time for us to take responsibility and take the reins on our health and, give up the idea that doctors are gods. They're certainly helpful, but we have the responsibility now.
How about heredity? How much does that actually play in how well we age? I know that's not as big a factor as a lot of people think, I guess.
You know, you're absolutely right, Roy. What happened is we thought, you know, even several decades ago, it was thought that only 30% of our health situations as we get older have to do with heredity.
Oh,
but now there's a whole new study out, or there's a whole new philosophy and really good research on what we call, Dr. Lipton, in his book, Biology Belief, talks about that we can even shape our own DNA now.
Oh, wow.
If we choose to become aware of what we believe.
Hmm.
And that's a part of quantum physics.
Yeah.
The fact that if we believe that so much of what we believe manifests itself in reality, and we really need to take a look at that.
Yeah, we've had past guests on here that talk about energy and quantum physics and
right.
all those aspects of that. And
yeah.
it's so true that, well, as we progress through the latter stages of middle age, are we destined to suffer memory loss and diminished brain capacity? Or are there some simple and satisfying ways that we can keep our brains healthy and active?
Right. Well, you know, that's a really good question, because actually, in the second half of life, many of us have found that we forget where we put our keys. But we forget that we forgot to where we put our keys when we were 25 years old.
Yeah,
too.
That's true.
You know, so, but we do, there's some memory change, and it's really not a loss, because there's really gains. But we do lose our ability sometimes to remember proper names and proper nouns. And
yeah.
I mean, how well?
Problems
I mean,
with names now and then.
Exactly. Exactly. And we do have a problem with that. We often have a problem with that. But again, that's not diminished memory, but our memory just goes to other things.
Yeah, that's true.
And I did put in my book different ways to enhance your memory.
Yeah.
They're so simple, like laughing.
Yeah.
Is a way
true.
To do that.
I
you
just
know?
Laugh, so now my memory is better, I guess.
Yeah, really.
Well, I love you say remain curious, because that certainly is one thing that keeps our brains going. To doing research for this program every week, I've learned so much, and being curious as to what authors and other guests that I've had have to say about things have really opened my mind, and I think certainly helped keep me young. But
that's great.
I like your suggestion. You target to learn something new every day, so we don't get stuck in old tired thoughts.
Yeah, and maybe that's good. I always love it when I journal, and I think journaling is always a great activity for anybody at any age.
I see.
But one of the things is fun is to at the end of the day journal about what did I learn today.
Yeah, that's an excellent exercise. I don't know how many people have the discipline to do that every night when they're about ready to go to bed, but it's an excellent exercise that people could do. I love the point you say, renew your sense of purpose, because it's so easy to grow old and tired if you effectively say, well, my life is over now, and I really don't have any, you know, I'm pretty useless because I don't have a job anymore, and maybe I still have a job, but I'm at the plateau in my career. I'm not really going anywhere, and I just do some rote tasks each day. But if you have a purpose and really have defined what you want out of the rest of your life, obviously that's one of the key things to making it happen, because you don't get there a roadmap isn't much good unless you have a destination you're aiming for.
That's right. That's right. And I have one chapter in my book on passion. And some people get confused with passion. They think passion is something, you know, so incredibly glorious that, you know, we're going to be singing at the opera or flying to the moon.
Yeah.
And passion can be a much more modest kind of thing. It's what fills our hearts and what makes our hearts sing.
No, there's certainly some good suggestions in your book on how to keep your mind active and young and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But the next few questions I'm going to ask resolve around a fairly typical midlife experience. And let's just look at this scenario for a second. Say you've just turned 53. I mean, just using that age as an example.
Uh-huh.
Could be anything in the latter stages of middle age. And your life up to now hasn't been that great. Your career has plateaued and you don't much relish your job. Maybe you're divorced and a single parent and could face a rebellious teen or teens. I know that's a problem with a lot of people. And right
mm-hmm.
now you feel pretty empty and useless and the future looks kind of bleak. Just more of the same old until you retire and then you don't really know what you're going to do.
I'm depressed just listening to you. Go ahead.
Well, if you're in this kind of a depressed state, should you examine your past in contemplating a brighter future? Does that unhappy past limit your chances for a joyful, success-filled life going forward? Or should you reminisce on those bad times or only on the good times that you have?
Well, I think you and I were just talking, Roy, about the fact that our work life in corporate America was never anything that gave us a lot of joy.
Yeah, that's true for me.
So I think what we need to do then at this point of like, I encourage people first thing to look at what they did earlier in their life.
Yeah.
That was what were life-changing experiences?
Yeah, I recommend the same thing in my book and on this program we've talked about that.
Yeah.
And you can. And the wonderful thing about this is that I found if you look back on the past and you now say, well, that was a dumb thing I did. There are no obvious absolute rights or wrongs decisions
mm-hmm.
in life, but if you look at some of the decisions you made in the past and you said if I could live my life over, I would change few, if any, of my prior decisions. And for this reason, I'm really confident in my decision-making ability going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you looking back, you made a lot of things that decisions that you wouldn't make now. You can relish the fact that you've had all this experience and you've learned enough to know what really matters in life now better than you did back then. So that you can be confident that you won't make those same kind of mistakes going forward. So I think it helps to look at both good and bad in the past.
Right, exactly, because sometimes we learn so much more from our positive than from our sad times.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we learn much more from our sad times than we do our happy times. It's just important to look at what was really life-changing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, those life-changing decisions you made in the past. But you never do that to blame yourself or to
mm-hmm.
mourn stupid things you did in the past or unfortunate things, because that really accomplishes absolutely nothing.
Right.
It's only as a guideline to making better decisions in the future. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but I do think a lot of things in the past that we did, we might consider. For instance, money for me has always been an issue.
Yeah.
You know, I've spent really a lot of time really not managing my money well.
Oh,
well, what can I learn from that? And what do I have to offer for my future now that because of those experiences? I, you know, and I climbed down the Grand Canyon once when I was 50-something and climbed down and back up the Grand Canyon. And it's fun thinking about that because that was probably the most positive experience ever in my life just because it was lifelong. It lasts even today.
Yeah.
I know I get strength from knowing that I can do that.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times myself, and the bad thing about the Grand Canyon is the hard part is at the end rather than at
right.
the start.
Right, yeah.
It's always nice
yeah.
when you climb a mountain to relax going down it, but in the Grand Canyon you have to do all the work after you reach the bottom.
That's true. But every decision we made it with the best intent in mind.
Yeah,
and so it's so wonderful now to be able to wrap our arms around those decisions and realize that we're better, we've become stronger because
of them. Yeah, I love
the
way in your book you talk about how you look at how you've changed maybe over the past 10 or 20 years or whatever, so that you see that process of change and you say, hey, I'm not the same person now that I was back when I made this decision.
Right, right.
And
many people think they're the same
decision today.
I'm sorry?
I say, therefore, I probably wouldn't make the same decision today, or maybe
right.
I would, but I understand why better now.
Right, right.
Well, if there's one key to moving forward in your life, to the life of your dreams, what would that be?
Again, I think going deep inside. And
well, I know you also said
that
the thing I liked about in your book was where you said accept 100% responsibility for your life. I think that's such a key, too. That,
exactly. And again, it's important not to criticize ourselves, just to say, you know, I did this because I did the best I could with what I knew then.
Well, it's so pointless to go back and say, if only, you know, if only the company I worked for hadn't been taken over and I lost
right.
my job. If only I'd completed my college education or my postgraduate
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Those if onlys never accomplish anything going forward. That's for
right.
sure.
But I encourage people just to know that it's an individual journey.
Yeah.
That to go inside themselves and realize that they were made for a reason. They were put here on this planet for a reason. And to breathe into that and to just to give themselves time to find out what that reason is.
Yeah, you mentioned that small inner voice. What's the best way to go in there and really find out what your true purpose in life is? Do you have any recommendations?
Well, I think one thing is to listen to that inner voice. I think so often, like my first inner voice about telling me to write, I just wanted it to banish go someplace.
Yeah.
But to accept it and to ask what it is that I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Yeah.
Because I think we all, like I said, have a purpose. And to go inside and just really ask the question, and we might think the answer is really stupid,
yeah.
you know, but to just stay with it and ask our higher selves as far as the answer and ask our higher selves for help. And
yeah,
figuring that out.
It's so important to meditate and take what I call in my book a mental vacation. You know, you're always so busy at your career and your child rearing or whatever you're doing, but you really need to get away at various points in your life to take a little vacation from the stress of daily activities and ask what you really want to be doing out of life and what that
right.
inner voice is telling you. But,
and I tell some people I spent the best times of my early exploration drinking coffee at Starbucks and writing.
Yeah. You know, that's very true. I'm sure you did. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, if you really enjoyed doing it, then it becomes clearer and clearer that's what you should be doing. Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, even if you're unhappy at where you are now in your life, most of us at middle age fear change. And what would you recommend as initial steps to overcoming the fear of change and turning your life around?
Yeah, well, I do have a chapter in my life, in my book on change, The Magic Elixir.
Oh, I see.
And there's a quote, "When you're through changing, you are through." But, you know, there's also a quote. Apparently, Albert Einstein was holding an exam for his university students.
Yeah.
And one of his students rushed up to him and said, "Dr. Einstein, there's been a terrible mistake. This exam is the same as last year's exam. All of the questions are exactly the same." And Dr. Einstein smiled and said, "Don't worry. This year, the correct answers are all different." So it's important that we need to open ourselves to the change. And so often, if we do that, some changes look negative on the surface.
Yeah.
But soon we realize that space is being created in our lives for something new to emerge.
I like in your book where you say change is only painful when we fear it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And in this world today, I mean, with all the changes going on every day and, you know, and technology and everything else, it doesn't make much sense not to embrace change both in the outside environment and be ready to change inside as well to adapt.
You know, that's so true. Yeah.
What part does gratitude play in generating
Oh my gosh.
I know you spend quite a bit of time in the book talking about gratitude.
Gratitude is so, because I just learned, I mean, in doing research for my book, that gratitude, expressing gratitude, explains well-being more than any other of the most commonly studied personality traits.
Isn't that fascinating? And yet so many people say, what do I have to be gracious or thankful for? I'm just, you know, my life's a mess. So if you're in that kind of state of mind, how would you start to, I think you mentioned a gratitude journal, or you start writing down things you can be thankful for?
Every night I write a gratitude journal about what I'm grateful for.
Oh, I see.
And it is so powerful. I mean, you talk about quantum physics and our thoughts, and our thoughts making our reality. The more that we're thankful for, the more we have, the more we can receive to give thanks.
Yeah, it's so helpful if every time you're with a person, you think of something that you can thank that other person for. Your relationship improves, and your whole outlook on life improves.
Exactly. Life satisfaction has a much, this is interesting, life satisfaction has a much larger correlation with gratitude and a much smaller correlation with age, education, income, intelligence, or attractiveness.
Oh, that's fascinating, isn't it?
It's fascinating and powerful because it's so easy.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot easier to think when you start thinking about all the things that you have to be thankful for, and instead of concentrating on everything that you're ticked off about or unhappy about.
Exactly.
Well, another interesting, you point out that resiliency is very important. Why is that so important in creating a positive experience in the second half of life?
Well, you know, resiliency is, again, how to say it, resiliency helps us realize that what we think is important really isn't that important.
Yeah.
And that bouncing back from setbacks is really the key.
Yeah, that's probably the real key going forward, to gain that confidence that you can bounce back from difficult situations.
Right, to get bogged down in negative things or unhappy things that happen to us really takes us nowhere and makes us all the more unhappy.
Yeah, I talk in my book about a cupcake strategy where you conquer some small issues in your life first, and that builds up your confidence and resiliency to attack bigger issues you might have later.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Wins.
Yeah.
Well, a couple more questions. Mm-hmm. You talk about uncertainty as you approached retirement age. What advice would you give listeners in their late 50s or maybe early 60s in how they should start to plan for their retirements? And I'm not talking about finances. I mean, we have a number of experts on that. But how do you begin planning what you really want to do for the rest of your life so that you're not bored and worthless?
Yeah. I think thinking about what it is, have we had a secret passion that's been in us all for a long time that we've never recognized? Is there something we would really like to do this time in our lives that we haven't had the chance to do? And to take a look at that, and how, again, I encourage people to take a look at the first half of their life and realize the strengths that they've gained and the talents they've gained and the power they've gained and the wisdom they've gained.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. In your book, you talked about World War II veteran that said, "My life is so uninteresting," and then you talked about your own life, all the interesting things that you had done, and
right.
So many people underestimate really what they've accomplished in the past and what they've contributed to other people and to society, and
right.
It's so tragic when you underestimate that.
In that same conversation with the man who had jumped out of fighter planes during World War II,
yeah.
I talked to a woman who said, "Well, I haven't done anything. I just raised 3 foster children."
Oh, wow. That's probably life's most important challenge of all, is raising children.
Right, and I think it's important that we not put down, that we look at what our thoughts are. Are they culturally related?
Yeah.
You know, are they maybe our culture's inability to look at the real important things in life.
Yeah. Well, where could we go to preview and purchase your book, Keep Your Fork, Dessert is on the Way, Savoring the Second Half of Life?
Okay. Where you can go is you can go to my website, which is barbwarner.com.
That's BARBWARNER.com, right?
Right. And I have a Christmas special that I have my book for $10.
Oh, that's great.
So you can get it that way. And then it's both on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble.
Oh, I see.
And then if you're in the Denver area, there's a Tattered Cover Bookstore and Mile High Church and some other venues.
Oh, I see. So,
but I have all those venues on my website.
Well, Denver's a great place. Maybe I'll travel out there to go
well,
to one of those bookstores.
Yeah. Tattered Cover is a real well-known bookstore. It's a place where you can, they have big chairs and you can just go and sit on the chair and read good
we
books.
We have some Barnes & Noble stores around here where you can actually sit and read a whole book if you're a speed reader.
That's wonderful.
In these nice chairs.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
how they make any money off that, but maybe they can buy some coffee from them or something.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Well, whatever your current mindset and station is in life, the future is up to you, and you can build on past experience, good or bad, to design the ideal future that you want. You understand why you've made certain choices in the past. You know things how things turned out and whether or not you would make the same choices again. And at middle age, you are fully capable of being your own man or your own woman. You can listen to that small inner voice, and you can begin building that joyful second half of your dreams. And I would highly recommend that you look at Barb Warner's book to find some ways you can get started on that. And it's a new year, so let's all get started. And thanks a million, Barb, for joining us. And a happy and prosperous new year to you.
Well, thank you, Roy. And I do want to tell folks I do workshops and interactive talks with groups. And,
that's
always a lot of fun.
They should go to your website to learn about that or what's
exactly.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I meant to mention that you are available live and in person.
Live and in person.
And in Technicolor.
In Technicolor, right.
Well, you have a great success with your book and all your ventures during the new year, and have a great new year, all of you out there, too.
Well, right back at you, and I sure appreciate this opportunity to share.
It's the beginning of a new year. Are you happy or sad? Let's do an inventory of where you stand today, near the midpoint of your life. Please pause for a few moments to take your emotional temperature. Do you consider yourself trapped in a dull, mind-numbing daily routine? Are idealism, romance, and adventure gone from your life, replaced by a never-ending struggle just to maintain the status quo? I've been there and done that, believe me. With each passing day, do you find yourself scrambling ever faster simply to keep up? What became of the extended quiet periods of contemplation when you were really excited and dreaming about your future? Do you miss those romantic spring and autumn walks in the woods with your sweetheart? What happened to time out for relaxation with the kids and good old family fun? And precisely when and why did you cease dreaming of a brighter tomorrow? Negative emotions like those I just described are symptomatic of an all-too-common middle-aged malaise that we call on this program the curse of lost dreams and diminished expectations. At some point beyond 40, for some unexplained reason, most of us realize that we're not as young and as athletic as we once were, that offspring once the center of our whole world are growing up, and they're probably tuning us out. At least a lot of the teenagers are, and that also that our most recent job promotion likely will be the last. And perhaps for the first time in life, we are beginning to realize that we're not going to accomplish all those lofty objectives, which seemed so attainable only a few short years ago. But so what? You know, when you're in a better mood, I trust you reflect upon the many blessings of middle age. Your children are fully or nearly grown, soon to be out on their own. Perhaps for the first time in years, you and your spouse now have ample opportunity to spend quiet time together, and each of you in quiet contemplation alone. And you can broaden your personal horizons and share life and enriching adventures just for two. I know my wife and I started cruising a few years ago, and that's a great new adventure that we'd never had before. Grandchildren, unfortunately not for me, but for many of you, have soon or will soon, or have already or will soon, add a wonderful new dimension. Cable, direct television, mobile communication devices, the internet, the social media, all have brought undreamed of cultural, educational, and entertainment opportunities right into your home. You know, you look back at, say, 2007, and it's amazing all the changes that have occurred just since then. Everything keeps changing all the time. And as empty nesters, you and your spouse or significant other can come and go just as you please. And although you may be alone in your residence, the two of you can communicate in an instant with offspring, friends, and loved ones anywhere in the world. And thanks to years of diligent saving and investment, I trust that you have attained the financial security you only dreamed of in your 20s and 30s. Your personal resume has been building over the past 30 years, and as a mature adult, you have experienced both the bitter and the sweet, and you know how to distinguish between pure gold and glitter. You routinely avoid the foolish mistakes you might have made 20 years ago. In fact, never before have you been better equipped to accomplish those lifelong goals that are generally important to you. And think about that. Never before, really, were you this well equipped. When coupled with a fresh, positive outlook, your 40s, 50s, and 60s can be a period of maximum personal fulfillment, and you can couple that with invaluable service to others and caring for others. You're still young enough to remain vital and productive, but you have graduated from the ever-present distractions of raising small children, struggling to pay bills, and launching your career. The secret to a joyful and rewarding second half is to combine a useful zest. You don't have to put that zest of youth away simply because you reach a certain age. A zest for living along with a mature judgment of middle age. And once you regain firm control of your emotions and set the gauge on positive rather than negative, you will have absolutely no reason to fear the future. As a positive, self-confident man or woman pursuing a proactive agenda, there will be no place in your life for lingering bitterness, self-doubt, or recrimination. One more thing you need to do, though, and that's take full personal responsibility. So please take a few moments this very day to make yourself three solemn promises. Promise one, starting today, I no longer will dwell upon past mistakes. Statement two, from this moment on, I appoint myself as CEO of me. Who else do you want running your life? Heck, you might as well take control and be your own CEO. And third, I promise I will search for and discover ways to make my tomorrows positive, focused, and productive, whatever the challenge. You're up to it. Once you stop blaming others and begin to cleanse your mind of lingering negative thoughts and emotions, and for certain forgive others that you may have remain bitter toward, your next task is to fill the void with heartfelt images of the renewed person that you intend to become. Visualization, I can't really say the word, certainly does work. And this person is not a total stranger. Indeed, this individual possesses all the favorable attributes except youth that you experienced in the brightest of your bygone years. This person is the new, mature you, able to combine the idealism of youth with an irreplaceable wealth of hard-earned knowledge and experience. You may be older and wiser, but you're still the man or the woman, and no one can prevent you from believing in yourself 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up. Now is an appropriate moment, right at the beginning of a new year, to begin a reconstruction of a positive mindset. That is you. Although your face has a few more character lines and your pace of movement is a step slower, much like fine wine, your heart, mind, and soul have aged all for the better over time. Without delay, pledge to purge your mind once and for all of any lingering bitterness and regret over one or more self-imposed boundaries or self-defined lost opportunities. That isn't you, and it doesn't make any sense. Over the weeks and months ahead, I am confident that you can and will dedicate the time and effort necessary first to visualize and ultimately to transform yourself into the positive, goal-oriented person you were intended to be all along, and that person is the new, improved you. And once you experience an authentic reawakening of mind and spirit, you will gain a gigantic advantage over the vast majority of your middle-aged contemporaries who remain stuck in the negative thinking, sliding through life without direction, and ceding their personal destiny to others. Just think about the advantage you'll have in life, but then you'll want to bring others along to the joy that you have found. And once renewed, you will join a select vanguard of cutting-edge midlife winners who remain anchored in solid core values, but they're fully capable of proposing, testing, and implementing creative solutions for tomorrow and for solving any problem that may arise. So do you want to transform your thinking this week, over the next few weeks, from negative to positive? Well, I recommend my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. Through 18 chapters and 21 self-help exercises, my book will help guide you from where you are today to where you want to end up as a joyful, purposeful individual who looks forward to jumping out of bed each morning with enthusiasm. That's the kind of person I am now, and I wasn't before, believe me, but it's a lot more fun than the life you may have been living in the past. And you can purchase my book at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or through our website, www.middleagerenewal.com. And you can also obtain a free gift in the process. And once again, that book title is A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards, a great book to read early in the new year to jumpstart 2015. And that's our program for today. Let's all get up and pledge to have a happier future, a great second half of life, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.